Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. During the last hour, we had on Sydney Kirkpatrick, and I enjoyed talking to him so much. I've held him over, and he's going to be talking again during this hour as well. I want to thank everyone so much for their support for this radio program, because Out of This World is a nonprofit program supported by entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. Just a few quick presentations before we return to Sydney. First off, we are entering a new age, friends, and the vibration levels of the planet are going higher and higher. So I'd like to start off this hour with playing just a few minutes of Aquarius by the Fifth Dimension. Go ahead. Thank you so much, Tracy, for playing that. We are entering a new age, and you can see it all around us. And with that, I wanted to tell you that Saturday I'll be giving a presentation on my book, Messages from the Masters. It's a book of messages from great spirits such as Albert Einstein, Nostradamus, President John F. Kennedy, all on our beautiful, bright future. I actually tried to post this on Facebook, and Facebook wouldn't approve it. They took it off. So, but I'm glad that I've got my own radio show and I can talk about it here. And there's no censorship here, of course. With that, I'd like to play the Ask Not speech by President Kennedy as a lead on for the rest of the program. Go right ahead, Tracy.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
I believe it's the destiny of this planet to arrive, to go into the higher dimensions, and the work of Sidney Kirkpatrick and on his work in Edgar Cayce is so important to understanding that. Also, I wanted to tell everyone briefly that a week from tomorrow, I'll be at what I call my Cosmic Awareness Fair on January 20th. It's at the Washington RV and Events Center in Olympia, Washington. It's about an hour south of Seattle, and it starts at 10 a.m. ends at about 4 or 5 p.m. We'll be having about 30 different vendors there, also a series of free presentations. I'll be giving a presentation at 1 p.m., and then that'll be followed at 2 p.m. by Michiko Hayashi, who will be coming in from Tokyo, Japan, to give a presentation on the beautiful work of Dr. Emoto. And then, of course, on March 9th, 10th, and 11th, 2018, I'll be having my fourth annual Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington, with some of the best psychics, UFO people, and healers. And if you register before January 20th, the cost for the 3-day event is $147. For more information, please see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. Or you can send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. And before we go on to Sydney again, I would like to bring on one more lady onto my show to talk about her wonderful hotel on the ocean. It's a very spiritual place called the Tokelin Inn. Tracy, if you could please call Catherine and see if you can reach her now, would be great. Okay, great. We'll get Catherine on the line, then we'll go right back to Sydney. Catherine, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good, good. Catherine has a wonderful hotel on the ocean. It's called the Tokelin Inn in beautiful Tokelin, Washington. It's named after an Indian, actually, named Old Toke, that started in 1868. And as everyone says around Tokelin, there's a lot of friendly ghosts in the Tokelin Hotel. And when you're there, you can meet them. And the thing that I like about Tokelin, too, is there's a lot of beautiful, positive spiritual energy around Tokelin. And if you're needing a break from the busy life, city life, or you need to get away to the ocean, I can't think of a better place to go than the Tokelin Inn. Catherine, you and one of the rooms is haunted, isn't it? I think upstairs.
We have word that a couple of the rooms are haunted. We have 17 rooms, and rooms number 3 and number 7 are those that have been specified as haunted rooms, if you want to call them that. And it's been kind of fun to hear that from different people so that there's validation to that interest. And we do have what I would call a very friendly spirit and presence at the hotel that's totally benign and wonderful. And I think a lot of people who visit the hotel can sense that just from their first walk through the door. It's a really special place that's been protected over the years, and we're very grateful for that dimension.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful place, and I know that when you walk in the doors of the Tokelin, I feel like I've stepped into another time period, but in a very, very high vibrational state. And of course, the ocean beaches are around there. It's a beautiful place to take it. Get a little R&R. Catherine, can you give a website out or maybe a phone number where people can reach you?
Yes, the website is simply Tokelin Hotel. If you want www, it's just Tokelin Hotel, and you'll see the website.
Okay.
And if anyone wants to send an email, it's tokelin@comcast.net. And we would love to have people drop in and say hello, and I'm usually there with complimentary banana bread or Miriam Berry cobbler. If anyone wants to just come in and take a look around, there's always that option. We're not open every day right now because of the winter hours, but
right,
especially on the weekends. Or if I'm there, you're welcome to come in and take a peek at the rooms and the dining room, and the grounds are on 3.5 acres. It's lovely, lovely pastoral setting, and people are welcome to look around and experience the great outdoors without any traffic.
Wonderful, wonderful. And Catherine, would you mind giving out your phone number for people listening today?
Yes, it's area code 360-267-7006.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 267-7006. I've stayed at the Tokelin. It's my favorite place on the West Coast to stay, and your food is the best homemade food I've ever tasted in a hotel.
Thank
so.
You.
I highly recommend it. If you're looking forward to getting away to the ocean, do contact Catherine. And I want to thank you so much, Catherine, for coming on today.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and we would welcome you with open arms. Okay.
Thank you so much, Catherine. Have a beautiful and happy day and a wonderful new year, too.
And happy new year to you and all of your audience.
Okay. Thank you so much, Catherine. Thank you
okay.
so much. Great.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well, Sydney, are you? I want to bring Sydney back on. Sydney, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, good. It's so good to talk to you. I wanted to ask you, let's go back to a basic question. For people who didn't know, who don't know much about Edgar Casey Sidney, how did he do his readings exactly? I think that would be good to go into.
Yeah, because, you know, today, you know, Casey is sort of known as the father of holistic medicine, the sleeping prophet, a lot of different monikers that have been attached to him.
Uh-huh.
But what most people don't understand is that it was an evolving kind of process. As a child, he was born in rural Kentucky about a decade after the Civil War, 1877. But even as a child, he manifested all kinds of unusual behaviors. For example, you know, he had what some people would term imaginary playmates, Only his playmates had, you know, first and last names, and came from easily identifiable places in the world, and he could carry on, you know, very long conversations with them. He had conversations with deceased ancestors, his grandfather, for example, whom he was very close to, who had died suddenly, got thrown off a horse, and almost, you know, days later, you know, carrying on a conversation with little Edgar. Later, as a young schoolboy, got hit in the back with a baseball, passed out, seemed to be in some sort of comatose place, but it was discovered, you know, he could carry on a conversation, even though he seemed to be, you know, unable to move his limbs and that kind of thing. But
wow.
Over a period of time, it was gradually discovered that if you could hypnotize this man, something, someone, something came through him. And as this evolved, he was surrounded by physicians.
Mm-hmm.
And physicians would put him into trance, would hypnotize him, and then in this hypnotic state, he would diagnose illness. And, you know, we're not talking sort of vague, ambiguous pronouncements, but, you know, very technical things. Blood pressure, white blood count, red blood count, you know, body temperature. And he would essentially go organ by organ through a person's body. They didn't have to be on the premise. They didn't have to be in the same city or even in the same country.
Wow.
So he did it remotely.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't remember, you know, when he came out of trance, he didn't remember anything that he said while he was in trance. And, you know, at various points in his career, when he was tested, you know, physicians would come and stick needles in him. One pulled his fingernail out while he was in trance and didn't feel a thing, didn't even flinch.
My goodness.
But anyway, so he could go into trance and answer these questions, but it was physicians who got a hold of him very early on. So in the first couple decades of doing this, they're all medical readings. Many of these are medical readings. But what made them just so astonishing was their accuracy. I mean, and easily verifiable because there were patients, and you could tell, does this person actually have this type of blood? Was his condition like this? And
wow.
Casey was accurate, and many of the treatments, as I had said earlier, that were dismissed as ludicrous back in the 1920s and 30s when he gave them are today state-of-the-art, you know, treatments. And if the medical treatments hadn't been so dead on, what came next would have been truly dismissed, because as soon as they realized he could answer these medical questions, gradually they started asking other questions. And first, one of the first ones was about the Bible, about something Jesus said, or you know, it was in the Gospels. And Casey, you know, just with the same speed and seeming accuracy of the medical readings, just came back and said, well, no, that's not exactly what Jesus said, that these, you know, his words were changed, altered, evolved itself, but this is actually what went on. And then as soon as that opened an incredible door that led to readings on ancient Atlantis, you know, the building of the pyramids, visitations to the Akashic Records, a whole myriad of you know, almost any subject you can think of. But it always comes back to these medical readings, because if the medical readings hadn't been so dead on, unnervingly, uncannily accurate, the rest of what he said wouldn't be given the weight and the authenticity that it subsequently has. And because he gave these medical readings, he was surrounded by physicians, by professionals, by stenographers. So you can't argue that Edgar Casey was the greatest psychic, because it's difficult to say. Certainly he was the greatest psychic of modern times. However, what you can say is the most documented psychic. You know, there were anywhere 5 or 6 people around him when he gave these readings, and there was a stenographer. So today, you know, we have literal transcripts of some 14,000 of these readings. And, you know, the organization that I write for today, you know, the ARE in Virginia Beach, has, you know, has these readings. You can access them online. You can come in and study them, as I initially did. It's just, it's an amazing body of research. And, and that's what makes Casey so important to all of us today. This this isn't a religion or a cult. It's really, it's a resource.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the predictions that he made, hope you don't mind me mentioning this, is that blood in the future would be used as a diagnostic tool. And
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was a reading given in 1927. Well, I have a, who I like to call the Blood Brothers on my show a week from today, from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific time here in Seattle, Josh and Adam Biggleson. Of course, their father, Dr. Stanley Biggleson, is a pioneer in using blood for diagnosing different medical conditions, and it's strictly used as a diagnostic tool. But they do that now with that. That's what their work is all about. They'll be on my show a week from today to talk about that. The other thing, too, I wanted to ask you about is the Akashic Records. Now, he talks about that in his work, and I was wondering if you might like to talk a little bit about that.
Yes, yeah. You know, it's often been asked, well, where did Casey get this information? How did he get it? He himself gave readings on that very subject.
Wow.
And the medical readings were, he was communing with the patient or the other person so that there was a soul-to-soul communication. Much of his other readings, however, what are called life readings, spiritual readings, history readings, were a visit to the Akashic Records. And he described it as you would describe it in having a dream, where his soul actually moved to this giant library and, you know, with a vast collection of books. And each person, each soul, each individual had one of these books. And you could take the book and you could open it and you could look back at their past lives and follow it. Of course, this is a symbolic thing, like in a dream. But, you know, Casey was discussed at length how every action has its own vibration. Every soul, every place, every individual, every stone, every drop of water has its own specific vibration, and that where those vibrations interact, there is always a record, which is the Akashic record, the eternal record, and that if you know how to read these things, you will be able to, you know, answer any questions, which is essentially what Edgar Casey did. Other psychics did, too. You know, there isn't anything that Casey did that other psychics haven't done, except to say that Casey seemed to be able to do it all. You know, there are people who give great medical readings today, who give, you know, past life readings, regressions, who can, you know, a remote view. Casey was an incredible remote viewer. But, you know, what makes Casey special in this regard is it's sort of all wrapped up into one package. And the Akashic Records are central to that.
Fascinating. I've had psychics on before. I did back in 2014, some very good psychics who read the Akashic Records. That was their specialty. That was some time ago. It's probably time for me to get to call them back again. But what they said was that the Akashic Records are actually held in another dimension, Sydney, in the Van Allen Belt around planet Earth. And they said, they told me, if you want to see it, go into your pineal gland and look at it, kind of like in a dream state. And they have these huge libraries, which are very, very tall. And you use a ladder to go up, and they have these records, like book form, of everyone's lives. Everyone has an Akashic Record, which I thought was fascinating. He also talked about the future of the planet, too, and of course, the purpose of my show here, my television show as well, is to make this world a better place, so I'm always curious about what good psychics and mediums think about what might happen in the future, so anything on that would be gratefully appreciated.
Well, what we're touching on, of course, is the subject of prediction.
Right.
And it's rather unfortunate in my mind that the tabloid Casey, the one you see in the tabloids in the supermarket, Casey predicts California is going to drop off into the ocean, or they sort of wrap this mantle around Casey that it was all about predictions, but in essence, Casey said, "You make your own future. You, as an individual, as a community, as a country, as a planet, that what you hold in your head and in your heart really determines the future." Now, that's not to say you can't make predictions, but Casey said it's not set absolutely because it can be changed. You can make change to this future. He did, make some projections, and among those was vast floods. He said the Mississippi River would flood, that most of New York would be underwater, various parts of California would drop off into the ocean. Very scary thing. And internationally, so some of the things that we're just now seeing seem to be have been echoed right through the Casey work. Like, he talks about Libya, and he talks about the Middle East. He talks about triggering mechanisms which will cause upheaval.
Mm-hmm.
And much of this seems to be a result of crisis, mm-hmm. during very, very ancient times, when souls first started incarnating on Earth to Atlantis and Lemuria,
right.
And that some of the scientists who helped to destroy Atlantis are back at work again today.
Right.
So there's these eternal conflicts. There's these cycles.
Mm-hmm.
It's an absolutely fascinating subject. And, so much of the Casey readings, it's like falling into a rabbit hole, because you can take almost any subject. And I encourage all your listeners, if you're suffering from psoriasis, or you're interested in visitations from other, if you're interested in other galaxies, life on other planets, you use the Casey material as a resource. Check it out. See how it feels. See how it looks. You can gain insight. For myself, I was going bald. And if you look at my dust jacket, when I was in my 20s and 30s, mm-hmm. and 40s, I just had the receding hairline. So one of the first things I did was use, the Casey hair treatment for baldness.
Oh, wow.
And it's not an expensive thing. It's just a grade 5 Pennsylvania crude oil, which you massage into your scalp. But there's so many things. So it's not just a, spiritual enlightenment, but real hard, physical things one can do right away.
Sure. Did it work?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Great.
Well, you'll see for yourself in March.
Okay. Great. Great. I know I had a receding hairline back in the 80s, and I used mayonnaise. I don't know where I found out about it. Mayonnaise stopped it and revitalized the hair growth, so I didn't lose all my hair. But how funny. Well, there's another one. I have so many questions, Sydney. You talk about the halls of records, and there are actually three halls. And this is on the ARE site, but I'll just read this briefly. According to Edgar Casey's readings, the people of Atlantis became aware of the fact that their civilization was about to destroy it. And as a result, they hid identical records of the Atlantean civilization in three places, in Bimini, Egypt, and the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico. And he talked about how this will be discovered. I won't read the whole thing, but it says something about when its vibration goes up high enough to the point where they should know about it, then they'll be given access to the Hall of Records. I'd love your information on that.
Well, this is a whole series of readings Casey gave, and it's wonderful because it ties these very ancient civilizations like Atlantis, to today's culture. And certainly one of these archives that the Atlanteans preserved is under, you know, the paw of the Sphinx. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of debate as to what is under there. And actually, all the Casey readings on ancient Egypt, you know, which were, again, it was just dismissed as totally impossible, you know, even early in my generation. But, you know, every few years, they roll back the time clock as to when the pyramids were built, when the Sphinx was, and just even what, just earlier, early last year, they discovered new chambers in the Great Pyramid. So it could very well be that we do have a hall of records, an ancient repository that Atlanteans hid under the paws of the Sphinx. Another location is Bimini. You know, we're right now we're in the midst of researching evidence of Atlantis on Bimini, and there's all kinds of wonderful anomalies. Some discussed by Casey, some not discussed. One of the most interesting things which we've been working on is a ancient well, a freshwater well on North Bimini, in which Casey says was built by Carib Indians, you know, indigenous population, you know, around the time Columbus came. But what's so interesting, Casey says, is that these Carib Indians reinforced the walls of their well with blocks, stone blocks, they cannibalized from an Atlantean temple. And so that if you look at these blocks, there's actual Atlantean writing on them.
Really?
So what keeps the sand out of the well are these blocks. So, you know, it's just another exciting little piece of evidence of the potential truth of what Casey says. And then, of course, the Yucatan. We're a very large, the ARE is a very large organization, and so we have teams who've been researching and running down these things. We've had teams in Egypt literally since the 1950s. At the moment, we're not doing much in Egypt other than, you know, doing tours, but we've had archaeologists working with us in Egypt for, you know, for decades. And same with the Yucatan. It's just, if you go on our website, edgarcasey.org, and it's Casey, C-A-Y-C-E. A lot of people mispronounce it. They just call it Edgar Case, which is sort of what it looks like. But it's Casey, C-A-Y-C-E. So edgarcasey.org, you can see the different groups we have operating. And, you know, it's fun to participate in that stuff. It's certainly exciting for me. I love it.
Oh, how wonderful. I want to share something with you. As a psychic, I've been in touch with the other side for about 24 years now, and one of the spirits I've been in touch with for the last several years has been Nostradamus. And he said that, and I agree with you that that everything, and Nostradamus agrees with you, and Mr. Casey too, that we have a choice. We always have choices to change the future. And the timelines actually changed some years ago after Fukushima happened back in March of 2011, that we were headed for a time when there would be a pole shift, for example. California would fall off in the ocean. There would be a World War III, but none of that's going to happen now. And he said that we're on a very, very beautiful and bright path for humanity right now. And so the predictions that that Mr. Casey made back when he was alive were accurate and valid as of that time, but people made different choices, better choices, I think, since that time, and that's why we some of those things haven't come about.
Ted, that's very well put. Thank you for that. That's
yeah.
Very
thank
nice.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I agree. Certainly, the Casey, you know, material would absolutely support that, simply because so many of the so-called predictions are prefaced with the comment, given the current situation. Casey's readings on Hitler, for example, which are extremely controversial, even today, you know, suggest that very same thing. The very earliest readings on Hitler, when he is rising to power and he's just made chancellor, you know, discuss the incredible psychic gifts this man has, especially his power for oratory. Yet it says, you know, it can go in many different ways, how he chooses to use it.
Right.
And the last readings, of course, are dark, but it didn't necessarily have to be that way.
There's a book written by Garnet Schulthauser. He's a wonderful psychic up in British Columbia, lives near Victoria, Canada. And Dancing with the Spirits is the name of the book. And in it, he actually has made many trips to the fifth and sixth dimensions with his spirit guides. And one of them, he talks about a meeting he saw happen between Jesus and Adolf Hitler, who was sitting on the same park bench in the fifth dimension. Now, this you have to kind of extend your your concept of what is reality. But he said that Hitler, that's true. He could have taken many different paths, and originally he started out with a desire to make the world a better place. But of course, he got way off track and ended up killing all these people. Horrible, what he did in World War II. But again, it's all choices. There's another prophecy that Edgar Cayce made, and I wanted to run this by you about our lifespan being extended. I'd love your information or opinion on that.
Yeah, it's a subject that several readings discuss, and it's both frightening and it's exciting at the same time, because Cayce essentially says, you know, given the right mindset, you can live forever. Mm-hmm. And he goes on to say, actually, there are people who have lived forever. And this is really, you know, it gets dicey in some of these readings like that, because you wonder, so are there people walking amongst us, you know, who have been alive since the days of Atlantis? And I know a skeptic would immediately dismiss that as ludicrous, but you look at some of these other readings Cayce gave, which at the time they were given were considered crazy, and it's probably not so crazy. I know very early on, for instance, I took one of the readings that I thought was just unexplainable. It seemed like a silly reading. It said nobody in Bocoma, Oklahoma will commit suicide. Words to that effect. Nobody in Bocoma, Oklahoma will commit suicide.
Oh, wow.
And so it sounded ridiculous. So I went to Bocoma, and I started looking into it. And it's so interesting because Bocoma is unusual in geophysical properties of the United States in that it has the largest concentration of, you know, of lithium in the soil.
Really?
And
oh
so it
gosh.
Gets between your toes, it gets in your salad. And when Cayce was giving these readings, so things that there is truth to some of these things that one might immediately dismiss, and there could be truth to, you know, that we have people walking among us who've never died. And you know, Cayce also gives certainly many medical recommendations on what can someone do to extend their lives.
Wow, that's amazing. I wanted to share with you what the Galactics and the Pleiadians have said about life extension. They said that as we spiritually progress on this planet, Sydney, that we will actually, our longevity will be increased more and more and more. They also said that we had a chance back in 1957. There was a benevolent extraterrestrial from the Galactic Alliance who came and visited President Eisenhower, and he offered him free energy and the eradication of all disease here on the planet. But there were two groups of people against it. The first off was Richard Nixon, the vice president at the time. He had a lot of friends in the pharmaceutical and drug industries and the medical profession, and he was afraid that they might lose all their jobs if everybody suddenly became well and all the diseases were eliminated. So, and then the Joint Chiefs of Staff were not happy with this gentleman called Valiant Thor, because they wanted weapons. They liked nuclear weapons to fight the Cold War with the Soviets at the time. And so they turned him down. But President Eisenhower did like Valiant Thor and wanted to do that. Valiant Thor had told President Eisenhower that if he did accept it, that our longevity by now would have easily increased to 300 years, because we were actually... He was told that President Eisenhower was told actually that the average lifespan of people off this planet in developed human civilizations are something like 1,000 years. And people can live up to 25,000 years and more if they want. But we just have to believe in it. So we are capable of doing that.
Certainly Casey supported that. One of the most interesting aspects of that, I think, in terms of extraterrestrial life, for example, are the astrology readings Casey gave. And he gave many, many, you know, horoscope or astrology readings. And every astrologer will be quick to tell you how configurations of stars or what planet is closest to the Earth will affect you, well, what effect that will have on you.
Right.
But Casey is the only one who explains why.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it's because you've sojourned on that planet in another dimension, in another lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You've sojourned there so that when that planet which you've been on, which you sojourned on, comes close to Earth, that vibration is affecting, you know, you're resonating with that, just like a tuning fork, and that's why it affects you. But those readings also give on to what it means to be sojourning on another planet. And Casey has often said that there is life on other planets. He says the scientists today just don't recognize it as life because they don't understand what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not life as we understand it, I guess, in other words, is what it's saying. Casey also talks about visitations, doesn't talk about it much, but there's two readings, I think, which talk about, you know, visitations by aliens from, you know, other species from other planets.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't all that much in the Casey readings about aliens. There are certainly a UFO reading. But the major body sort of is more medically oriented, physically oriented.
Mm-hmm. Wow, fascinating. Here's something interesting I want to run by you, and I'm sure everyone out there will find this interesting too, about life's purpose. And I'll just read this. This is from the Edgar Casey Foundation website at www.edgarcasey.org. According to Edgar Casey, each person living on the earth is here for a specific soul purpose, a purpose that no one else can fulfill. While for some people their purpose might be directly related to a profession or vocation, for others it could be simply a particular way of living day by day. Finding and then understanding and living your life's soul purpose is actually a lifelong process. And as your knowledge grows and deepens, you will find greater and greater opportunities for fulfilling your life's mission. Isn't that amazing? I think that's very profound, what's written here.
Yeah, absolutely. And so some of these readings are really... People came to Casey and says, you know, how can I find my, you know, life calling? And so there's all kinds of advice along those lines. But some of the responses are quite interesting. You know, a postman, for instance, is told that he is living out his vocation and doing spectacular things by the smile on his face as he delivers the mail on his route.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he says that is this man's purpose.
Right.
A dancer, for example, is told that reincarnation for her is unnecessary because of the pleasure she has given audiences with her dancing.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, these reincarnation readings, because Casey, of course, says, you know, you travel from one life to the next until it's no longer necessary, until you no longer have that karma which is holding you back, or you can sort of unite with the universal forces. And it's interesting to see the handful of people in Casey readings whom reincarnation is unnecessary. One of my favorite is a piano teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she apparently touched the lives of her students, a few of her students, in such a way that she herself progressed. So that, you know, reincarnation, she did such a good job as this piano teacher that reincarnation was unnecessary. So it's interesting in that regard, because you think, oh, my gosh, you got to be a Gandhi, a Martin Luther King,
right.
You know, Mother Teresa or something. But that's really not the case.
Mm-hmm.
You can be, you can do a radio show. Thank you. Enlightening people to do this good work.
I have to tell you this story. Again, this was in Garnet Schultheiser's book, Dancing with the Spirits. This was last year when I read it. He talked about he's talking to his spirit guides, and one of the most important things that this lawyer did in his life review, he passed on, and this is a message from the other side, was that he was walking along the street one day, and there was a lady, a homeless lady, who was down on her luck and was really, really sad. She came from an abusive home and was sitting on a park bench, didn't know where to go. But the thing that turned her life around was the fact that he stopped and he spent about 20, 30 minutes with her, consoling her and giving her support and help, some good advice about what to do with their life, and just out of the blue. And that helped him more to spiritually progress than all the cases he ever won in court for his clients. And I thought
that was
an amazing story. And the message from the other side was that sometimes the smallest things, which you think are small and you don't think anything about, are the most important. And some of the things which you are think the biggest things in life aren't very important at all. So I remember that. And so when I see a homeless person on the street here in Seattle or in the Seattle area, a lot of them are Vietnam vets, and I feel sorry for them. Hey, you know, I'll give them a couple bucks if I've got money. And then even if I don't, I'll stop and talk to them briefly and give them some support. Often there's church groups in the area or social service agencies which can help them. And I really appreciate that. It tears my heart to see people standing out in the middle of our rain, which sometimes lasts for 3 months without a sunny day, and asking for a handout. And in this country especially, you know, we have the resources to help people. And so anyway, my heart goes out to them. But I remember that story that Garnet Schultheiser told me about, read about.
Beautiful, yes, and very consistent with the KC work.
Yeah, yeah.
It's certainly the, I keep harking back these medical readings because what they reveal often reveal a much larger story. For example, there's a woman who's in a mental institution, and KC gives a reading and essentially says, you've got to have this woman's wisdom teeth pulled because they've been infected. And that's the reason for her insanity. There's a story, another reading for a New York postman. And this is before we understood postal rage. And Casey says, well, he's in a mental institution because he was picking up packages incorrectly, and he stressed stressed his spine and threw, blood to his brain is not reaching the brain the way it should be.
Wow.
So you go outside and you see a homeless person. You have these readings help give you a compassion for humanity.
Right.
At least it was for me, in very unexpected ways, because there by the grace of God go I, because it really is true. And through these readings, you often see how quickly your life, their lives can change in an instant, given certain circumstances. And so you live for the moment. And certainly with all of the vocation readings Casey gives, you don't do what you've come here to accomplish alone.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
do it with others.
Right.
And you have to do it with others. Casey often identifies soul groups, people you've incarnated with before many, many times.
Right.
And you're really learning to work together. We're learning to work together as these little teams, and then, into a much greater, way of looking at it in terms of cities and planets and countries. It's an inspiring thing.
One thing I want to go on to, and this is a message that I've gotten from many great spirits on the other side, is that we're all one. And this is a reading that I've gotten just off the Edgar Casey website. It says, the first lesson for 6 months on the spirit side should be 111, the one of oneness of God, oneness of man's relation, one of people's relation, oneness of force, oneness of time, oneness of purpose. Everything is oneness, and that we're all related to each other. And so that when someone hurts each other or someone commits a crime or says something bad about someone, you're really hurting yourself, because we're all connected to the supreme being or the entity that created us all. Sydney, are you there?
Yeah, okay. I'm mulling that over, which is a wonderful thought, and you know, many many things come to mind. Of course, there's a really interesting reading series of readings on a young artist named Ann Newmark, who was just a brilliant young Boston art student who was painting these incredible nudes at age 12 years old.
Wow!
And was ostracized in the city of Boston, where she lived. Mm-hmm. City father said, you know, a 12-year-old girl shouldn't know the, you know, human anatomy like that.
Oh.
Anyway, she was invited to Manhattan, to Cooper Union, which is a great art school. She got a free ride at Cooper Union, came down with her mother. This is in the 1940s. And her career just blossomed, and suddenly something happened. She came home from school. She came home right after she had a one-woman show at a big gallery, the Carlyle Gallery in New York. She came home, and the next morning she started breaking her brushes. And later that day she started scratching the pigment off the canvases with her fingernails.
Really?
And 3 weeks later she was in a mental institution. She didn't know what happened.
Oh, wow.
And so Casey started giving these readings on her.
Mm-hmm.
And as it was later revealed, she was invited into a man's apartment to sell some of her artwork, where she was, you know, brutally raped, sodomized. It was, horrible thing happened to her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she, but what ultimately happened was, you know, when, you know, in the physical altercation and this, you know, when she was brutalized like that, her spine was hurt. But it was more than that. And the way Casey describes it is her soul is now not in her body anymore, and it's floating around her.
Hmm.
And so it's a whole complicated series of readings, not only physical, but mental and then spiritual. Mm-hmm. You had to sort of heal the body, and then you had to welcome the spirit back into the body. And so one begins to understand that to really, say, deal with living indefinitely or any of the medical readings. In order to understand the medical reading, you have to understand the spiritual reading.
Mm-hmm.
And understand the spiritual reading it encompasses a much greater spectrum than we're used to looking at an object or a person, a human life, a soul.
Mm-hmm.
But this Ann Newmark series of readings are just really inspiring. It's a tragedy, but and it's something many women, especially who've been, you know, been raped, who've been brutalized,
right,
can understand.
Sure.
But it provides a wonderful picture window into, mm-hmm, you know, into near death experiences, for
wow,
example,
wow,
out of body experiences, remote viewing. There are many of these different kinds of readings. Some of the most insightful reading, I think, on Edgar Casey himself took place in Manhattan, and there was a very famous Irish psychic, Eileen Garrick, spectacular. She was sort of like the Edgar Casey of Europe at the time, and so readings were given in which Edgar Casey went into trance to give a reading on Eileen Garrick at the same time in the same place as Eileen Garrick was giving a reading on Edgar Casey.
Oh, really? How funny. Wow.
Yeah, and it's so fascinating. Wow. You compare these two, and you sort of see their in their readings, they almost cross paths as they're on their way to the Akashic Records.
Right.
It's absolutely mind-blowing. It's just
how
wonderful
funny
to read about, to read and study that. And it shows the, you know, just the compelling, the accuracy of these readings, where, you know, because so often with you know, you're studying psychic work, it's hard to pin down exactly what's happening. But when you have this sort of dual perspective from two different psychics at the same time, it becomes very insightful.
Fascinating. We've got about 5 minutes left, and I just wanted to ask you also about, this is from the ARE website, but I'll just read this quickly. The Edgar Cayce readings emphasize the spiritual nature of humankind, but much of us overlook that. I don't think, but the listeners I know listening to my program do listen to the, are interested in the spirit side of life, but many don't. But that he writes, he writes, spirit is the life, mind is the builder, and the physical is the result. In other words, the spirit is the source of all light, of all life. And when the mind focuses that energy, the mind can do it into creative, positive, or destructive, negative avenues of expression. So this goes back, I think, to Dr. Masaru Emoto's work that our thoughts are very powerful, so we have to think positive thoughts if we're going to create a positive world. And I'd love your opinion on that. We've got about 3 minutes left.
Yeah, it's the most repeated phrase in all of the Cayce readings, mind is the builder. You know, so what, you know, what you hold in your head and in your heart really determines the future, mm-hmm. determines the physicality, determines who or what you are and what you are as a group, as a civilization, as a planet.
Wow.
And so that's really why it's so important, you know, what we listen to, what we feed ourselves, what, you know, what nourishes us. Because what you choose to dwell on is essentially what you become.
Mm. True. That makes total sense. Total sense, Sydney. Well, we've got a couple of minutes left. I want to give you the rest of the time to wrap up your wonderful interview today. Anything you'd like?
Well, you know, when very early on in, you know, in my research into Cayce, something just blew me away, because when you see these readings, numbers are attached to the readings just so you can search them. And if you go on the website, if you study Cayce readings, you'll often see a number like 976-1. So that's person 976. And the one stands for their reading. This is how Cayce has been understood for you know, 40 to 50 years. Today, we're starting to put names on those readings. And there was a very legitimate reason for hiding these people's identities, simply mm-hmm. because George Gershwin doesn't want it being known that, you know, he's suffering from hemorrhoids or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or, this is sort of like a patient-physician relationship in these records. But virtually, you know, 80%, 90% of the people who had these Cayce readings have now passed on, so we can start identifying who these people are. And this has opened up an incredible new horizon for studying this material in ways we never could do before. Like, for instance, we now know, you know, Nikola Tesla was getting readings, Thomas Edison, the owner of Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company. I mean, you know, major, major important inventors, business people, creators, you know, of just, well, it's just astonishingly important people. And you can start looking at these things, studying these readings in ways we never could before.
Sure.
And so I know when my wife and I started studying these readings, we used to say, oh, my gosh, how, you know, I wish we could have been there back in the 40s. And gotten our own education.
Yeah, that would have been great.
And yet, now we can study these things in ways that were not possible to do in Edgar Cayce's lifetime.
Wow.
We have the science and technology to study it. We can look at these readings chronologically. We can say, okay, well, the breast cancer cures.
Yeah.
Cayce gave several different breast cancer cures.
Beautiful.
And you can start looking at the chronology of mm-hmm. when he gave them and what the condition was and why he were giving them to different people.
Sydney?
Psoriasis, for
right,
example.
Right. We're almost out of time, my friend, but I want to thank you so much for coming on. And for those who'd like to meet Sydney, he'll be at my Galactic Wisdom Conference, March 9, 10, 11, Olympia, Washington. Please go to our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And thank you so much again for coming on my show today, Sydney. I really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you so much.
It's a delight.
Okay. Have a wonderful day, my friend.